You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. So far, wherever you is.
Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house, play that music now. Show me.
Educational day on All Marine Radio. Yeah, that means you're going to learn. You're going to hear from the Secretary of Defense calling out China shit. Just awesome. Hate when that happens. And then you'll probably hear from India's Prime Minister, who also spoke. India is kind of an interesting country in the world stage. Kind of the slumbering economic giant next to China, and so you'll hear from him. And the term Indo-Pacific has got very important in the last week. The United States renamed the Pacific Command the Indo-Pacific Command. What? Yeah, it's not PACOM anymore. Indo-PACOM. Three syllables, which kind of sucks, right? Southcom, UCOM, Northcom, CENTCOM, Indo-PACOM. What? But nonetheless, the reality of what's going on this morning? What's going on in the world and the importance of that region? And then what we're going to do on the program today, so you'll hear that. And then joining Mike and I at 9 o'clock Pacific time is a former Marine by the name of Paul Soldrus. And he started a thing, if you've ever seen it, called the Duffel Blog. And it was his blog. And why the name Duffel Blog? Marines don't have duffel bags. We have sea bags. So how do we get to Duffel Blog? What's that about? Is it an effort to... appeal to the army guys? Really? So the first thing we do is we sell out? All right. But anyway, so if you go to Duffelblog, if you go to Duffelblog.com, D-U-F-F-E-L, blog.com, you'll read the following. Okay. Duffelblog has been serving the men and women of the U.S. military with insightful commentary and hard-hitting journalism since 1797. Starting from humble beginnings by squatting office space in an abandoned military barracks, the publication quickly became known as edgy and ahead of its time after Duffelblog reported on President John Adams' $200 per week cocaine habit in March of 1799. It received high praise for its investigations into the military the military reflective belt industrial complex. So you can see he does a little bit of satire. Duffelblog has received numerous accolades, to include a nomination for a Pulitzer Prize in 2012 for excellence in journalism. It's being nicknamed it's been nicknamed, quote, the American military's most trusted news source by Columbia Journalism Review, and recognition as a world leader in military news by other lesser outlets such as the Wall Street Journal, National Public Radio, the Military Times, NBC News, Gizmondo, USA Today, and Business Insider. So you can see that he's not afraid to have a good time. Our history. It then goes on to our history. Duffelblog was founded in 1797 by Lance Corporal Alfred Whittingham, a U.S. Marine stationed at Tun Tavern in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Whittingham, a prolific binge drinker and avid boxer, served as a recruiter for the newly formed Marine Corps. As legend has it, Whittingham would force new recruits to drink shots of whiskey and challenge them to a duel match before allowing them to sign the enlistment papers, a practice that is still used by Marine recruiters across the nation today. Oh, man. The role of editor-in-chief was taken up by a number of luminaries over the years. Army Private Earl Williams, 1823 to 1833, which means he was 10 years old when he died, for example, set the publication's tone for groundbreaking articles such as, quote, I hate my sergeant major, and here's why you should too. And Phil Bradley, former Navy SEAL, 1977 to 1983, which would have made him 16 years old when he died, modernized editorial flow work, implemented style guidelines, and limited writers to a 12 drink minimum during working hours. Duffelblog endured a particularly dark time when the duties of editor were passed to Gunnery Sergeant Elias Rodriguez, 1997 to 2001, who wrote most of the articles himself and replaced words such as the and source with oorah and devil dog. Readership plummeted in the following years. That's awesome. So anyway, then it goes down to the bottom. This is what they truly are. Disclaimer: Duffelblog is a parody of a news organization, and all content it publishes is satirical in nature. No content should be regarded as truthful, and no reference of an individual company or military unit seeks to inflict malice or emotional harm. All characters, groups, and military units appearing in these works are fictitious. any resemblance to real persons, living or dead, or actual military units and companies is purely coincidental. Duffelblog is not intended for readers under the age of 18. So then there's a few questions and answers about it. So anyway, I first heard about Duffelblog when somebody I know asked me about General Mattis's sleeve tattoos. And I said, what? Like, yeah, the dude is such a baller. The reason you never see him in Charlie's, which is kind of are either green dress pants or are blue dress pants with a short sleeve shirt. Right? The reason you never see him in one of those is because of his sleeve tattoos. I said, what are you talking about? They said, yeah, Mattis has sleeve tattoos. I said, where the hell did you read that shit? And they sent me the link. I said, dude, that's a joke, okay? What? And that was my first time that Duffelblog crossed my path. So I was like, what is this? So I started looking around, and so the background is Mike Musselman, the gunner, as you know him. The fictitious character, the action figure known as the Gunner, that dude, yeah, he and Paul served together. So anyway, soldiers will come on this morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll hear. You know, again, I'm curious, how did he start this stuff? You know, and it's become huge, and he's gone off to write other stuff, more serious. So we'll find out about him and how he started it and how he makes a living and all that. So it should be a fun morning. For those of you who are at all familiar with it, it's a big satirical thing that writes pretty funny stuff about the military, but also will take on more serious issues and satire about them. So looking forward to that. So that's what we got going today. The United States Marine Corps band will make this official. Starting year 3 this week. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to All Marine Radio all week, unless something else happens. But this is dedicated to All Marine Radio. It deserves it.
Our flag comes through to every ring of the my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather around Marineland. Partly cloudy in 73 in Quantico. Sunny in 77 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny and 82 in Granbury, Texas. Partly cloudy in 60 in Big Timber, Montana. They have a weather warning up there. Stand by as I investigate. River flood warning. And a local pollen alert. River flood warning means it's flooding. Yeah, remember, if there's an R in it, it means it's real. There you go. The flood warning continues for the Yellowstone River near Livingston, affecting Park and Sweetgrass County. Until further notice or until the warning is canceled, moderate flooding is forecasted. The river will rise above flood stage around 8 a.m. on Tuesday, crest near 10 feet. Around 12 p.m. on Thursday, the river is then expected to fluctuate around flood stage into the weekend. Most of the time, if you live around a river, you're used to being rivers in the spring being above flood stage. This is a little late for that. So, Montana dealing with flooding. Go figure. All right. Further west, 29 Palms, partly sunny in 75. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 62, a little bit warmer. Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 81. The beautiful Helmand Province reporting in at 107 late in the day. All right, that's right, hovering around 115 at its hottest. the last couple of days. Clouds in 62 at the home of All Marine Radio, headed for 76 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, 79, and then on Thursday, all the way up to 80. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and check news headlines as we continue. Secretary of Defense coming up in about 39 minutes. You're going to hear his speech. And then you're going to hear an interesting speech from the Prime Minister of India. Spoke at the Shangri-La Dialogue. So what would he say about India's ongoing confrontational relationship with China? So, which is no small deal. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy Tuesday morning with us. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for you. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
Tuesday. If you're not watching the Stanley Cup, you should learn to watch hockey because it's awesome. But some sports you don't know if it's going to be good. The Stanley Cup, the level of speed and the level of violence is awesome. If you like those kind of things. If you don't like those kind of things, then I respect your decision. But if you like speed and aggressiveness, oh, man, it's awesome. But it's pretty controlled in the Stanley Cup because they can't take stupid penalties. But I'm not afraid to mix it up. Washington Capitals. Yeah. They went up 3-1 last night. We'll check news headlines here in a second. Email. Mac, I was listening last night to your show. Just wanted to say happy anniversary. Starting your third year. I think it's very cool. I discovered Allmaring Radio about a year and a half ago, and it's part of my daily commute. I think you provide a balance of news commentary, humor, and incredible interviews that make it worth listening to on a daily basis. Thanks for what you do. Please thank the Gunner for me. I've enjoyed meeting your friends, and I don't miss. God bless you. Semper Fidelis. I love those kind of things. Because most of the emails we get tend to start with, hey, ask Clown. So it's nice. No, you know what? Honestly, I would be remiss if I didn't say, again, the patron saint of Allmaring Radio is Bob Nielsen. He supported it in every way. Shortly after we got going. And from moral support to financial support, he is the reason why Allmaring Radio is still around. So I could never say thank you enough to him. And so the people that Allmaring Radio helps, don't be afraid to track down Nielsen and say thank you to him, because when you start to create something like this, you quickly learn that. You quickly find people that, that help you, right? You've never met, and he's been that guy. So, very cool to be associated with him professionally and then to get to know him as a person. His story is pretty amazing, his time in Vietnam and then just helping guys when he got back. As he was recovering, and then spent a life helping veterans, and then as he settled down in the D.C. area and the wars started in Iraq and Afghanistan, he started going and helping them transition more, and started 100 Entrepreneurs. You can check that out on the internet, or you can check it out on Facebook. But Bob's endeavor to promote entrepreneurship in construction. Give people who want to make a living in that endeavor, give them an outlet for it, and so he's done that, and then that has in turn spawned different efforts, and so very very cool, but check that out. He of 100 Entrepreneurs fame. We'll check the news right now. Yeah. Year number 3. Holy smokes, man. Hold on, let me read another email. Mac, honestly, can't believe the FBI, just when you think it can't get any worse for them, this stupidity. Doing a backflip at 12:45 a.m. with your pistol in your waistband. And that guy's an FBI agent investigating me? Yeah. Well done, boys. Well done. And then it's caught so perfectly by somebody's cell phone camera. Good Lord. Idiot of the month. FBI already has a lock on that sumbitch, I'm saying. Another email. I'm cheering for the Caps, hoping to see TJ Oshie with Lord Stanley's Cup in the region at some point. That comes from TJ's home, or near his home, in northwest Minnesota. TJ, I think he's from, actually born and raised, born in Seattle. He moved to a small town that his father hails from. If I'm not mistaken, it's his father that's from War Road, Minnesota. Now, you can't, it's, War Road's not the edge of the planet, but you can see the edge from War Road. It is in the very northwest corner of Minnesota, right on the Minnesota, Manitoba border. Manitoba's in Canada, for those of you who don't know. So right there, and town of about, I don't know, 2,500 people. There's a Windows factory there. And they make Marvin Windows. Cal Marvin, former Marine, got out of the Marine Corps, went back home, started a business, and now makes makes windows for that are shipped all around the world. A great story. You know, just a great hometown guy. And so Marvin Windows. So anyway, TJ Oshie, who plays for the Washington Capitals, is plays for or is from there. And then he left high school and came to where I lived, maybe 2.5 to 3 hours south of where he lives, Grand Forks, North Dakota, played for the University of North Dakota. And you saw, as a young guy, things that you see now as an adult hockey player. He has these moves, and he has a sense of violence when he plays that is pretty... He can get it going. And he's first of all, he's a great player. Second of all, he annihilates people. You know, he's a skilled player, so he's not supposed to do that. Yeah, if you make that mistake, you'll be wearing it. And, in fact, he hit a guy last night. The guy was coming to check him. And there's a certain, you know, timing when guys get hit. So what you've seen in the Stanley Cup series is guys with the puck, like, almost stop momentarily handling the puck and deliver the blow a step before these guys throw the blow. So they see him coming and they're handling the puck. And so the way it's scripted is you continue to handle the puck. These guys come and they hit you, right, as you try to either move it or absorb the hit. What these guys have done, and you see players do it throughout, but you've seen it a lot, it seems like, in this series. What you see is them momentarily, you know, stop handling the puck and hit them before they can be hit. And if you've ever played a sport and you get hit before you're ready to hit, that's when you get really the crap knocked out of you because you're not expecting it. And he did that last night and just smoked a guy. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Let's see. So, yeah, good luck to TJ Oshie and the Washington Capitals. But the other incredible story is the Las Vegas is an expansion team in the finals. Come on. That would have been like, you know, San Diego Padres in their first year of existence going to the World Series. Come on. Yeah, like, what a joke, right? What a joke. In a story that's kind of resonating around and making headlines, and this story's been out there for a while. It is members of the military. Okay, there's a member of the United States military suing Barack Obama and James Comey because they got charged. Were charged and convicted at court-martial for inappropriate handling of classified material. And Hillary Clinton committed the same offense and what has never been charged with anything. So it's going to be interesting, this lawsuit that names Barack Obama and James Comey in it. So it's going to be very interesting because I think you've heard this ad nauseum, right? That if she'd been, if any one of us had done the things that she had done, set up her own server, right, had people cross-decking classified material, some of it top secret SCI, onto an unclassified network and then sending it, we would have gone to jail with that kind of sensitive, with that kind, again, TSSCI, yeah, there's probably classifications above that, but I don't know of them. That's high level stuff. And again, were crimes committed? Yeah. Was it an organized, deliberate thing? Absolutely. That's the only way stuff migrates from one system to the other. Is somebody sitting there with two systems and they're moving information between them? Because the informations do not interact. They're completely, the systems don't interact. They're completely separate. So it'll be interesting to see, what happens in that lawsuit. Because again, that's been written about and, been commented on by people, members of the military. Like, wow, I wish I could have got that standard when I got, you know, I got accused of having whatever I had on the thumb drive. Okay, they ended my career. She didn't even get prosecuted. She didn't even get charged. So anyway, that in the news today. Headlines. Defense officials open investigation into drinking drug allegations against White House doctor. So, what, about a month ago? Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, right, from the White House, got nominated to be the head of the VA, and his nomination got torpedoed when these things got leaked to the media. Defense Department officials have opened a formal investigation into the conduct of former White House physician Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson following allegations of unprofessional behavior during his bid to become VA Secretary earlier this year. Jackson, a 23-year naval officer who still works in the White House medical office, has kept a low profile since withdrawing from consideration for the cabinet-level post in late April. That move came amid allegations of on-the-job drinking, improper handling of prescription drugs, and abusive behavior towards subordinates from whistleblowers who reached out to senators in advance of a planned confirmation hearing. A spokesman for the Department of Defense's Officer of Inspector General confirmed Monday that officials have initiated an investigation into those charges to see whether any punitive actions against Jackson may be warranted. What it should have said was, or exonerate him if he's found innocent. Pretty disgusting what passes for, I don't even know what kind of behavior you'd call it, on Capitol Hill. Pretty disgusting. This is, in my opinion, this is probably the biggest news headline, but it's kind of being unreported. I won't say unreported. It's being reported, but other things like Harvey Weinstein pleading guilty or pleading not guilty to rape in New York City would obviously drown it out. One of the flashpoints in America's dance in Syria has been northern Syria, specifically northwestern Syria, and Turkey's fight against Kurdish forces, and those Kurdish forces have been the strongest ally that the United States has had. The United States has sought a way of separating the two so that two allies are not going at it. The Kurd question in the region is a big question. Headline. U.S., Turkey say plan reached to resolve rift over U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters in Syrian town. U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters will withdraw from the key Syrian town of Manbij, M-A-N-B-I-J, under a deal reached with the Trump administration, Turkish officials said Monday, potentially easing a serious rift between the U.S. and Turkey. If successful, a deal to resolve the future of Manbij, a strategic town in northern Syria, could avert a tense standoff in northern Syria between Kurdish-led militias and Turkish-backed Syrian fighters. The spat with Turkey, which considers the Kurdish fighters to be terrorists who threaten Turkish sovereignty, has become a major sore point between NATO allies and a distraction for the U.S.-led coalition seeking to defeat the Islamic State in Syria. The agreement to resolve the future of the city came in a meeting in Washington between Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and visiting Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlüt Cavusoglu. In a joint statement after the meeting, the U.S. and Turkey said the diplomats, quote, endorsed a roadmap that aims to ensure the security and stability of Manbij, but offered no details. Kurdish-led forces captured Manbij near the Syrian-Turkey border from the Islamic State in 2016, following months of fierce fighting. Turkey has been pushing for them to withdraw and has vowed to retake the town and other Kurdish-held territory along the border, but U.S. troops stationed in Manbij have served as a deterrent. See, the rub here is Turkey's looking the other way. As the Islamic State, who was the Islamic State selling its oil to? Where it was getting its revenue? You know, and one of the routes was through Turkey, with knowledge of the Turkish government. What? What was one of the primary routes of recruiting in terms of trafficking of fighters, from Europe to the Islamic State? Through Turkey. Well, what the hell? What the hell? So there, we got issues. We got issues. So, not very widely reported, but pretty important development in what happens in Syria. And what happens in Syria is significant because it how the United States deals with Iran in the region. In my opinion, at some point, Russia will be forced to reduce their presence, either because they can't sustain it financially or because they're starting to get killed in numbers that are too great. Two other quick stories as we get ready for Secretary Mattis. One is report, President Trump mulling direct U.S. military action in Yemen. Ruh-roh. Until now, the U.S. role in who wrote this? Todd South. Todd's been on the program. Until now, the U.S. role in the ongoing war in Yemen has remained small, but sources have said that the Trump administration is considering giving direct support to seize the country's main port for humanitarian aid. First reported in the Wall Street Journal, the move would involve U.S. involvement in the brutal civil war that has been raging since 2014. The UAE has asked the U.S. to assist the Saudi-led coalition to retake Hodeidah, H-O-D-E-I-D-A-H. Experts have called the ongoing war the largest humanitarian crisis, with millions facing starvation, lack of access to clean water, and cholera outbreaks that likely involves more than a million people. U.S. officials told the Wall Street Journal that the coalition will not act without U.S. support. But a high-ranking official told the newspaper that the administration has a lot of concerns about a Hodeidah operation. We are not 100% comfortable that, even if the coalition did launch an attack, that they would be able to do it cleanly and avoid a catastrophic incident? Yeah, I would be nervous about that. I'd be nervous about that because, A, urban area, which means what, right? Rebels come in, right? You launch something into that, and how does it not become protracted? A lot of civilians in the region. How did a lot of them not die and all of that? So keep an eye on that one. And then last story. This is about the CHOICE program. Anybody who's a veteran who gets care through the VA program is familiar with the VA's CHOICE program. It allows you to get care away from the VA. Patients using Veterans Affairs CHOICE program to avoid long wait times at medical centers may still face months-long delays before seeing a doctor, according to a new report from the GAO, released on Monday. Researchers say recently passed reforms to the VA's community care programs won't fix those lengthy waits without dramatic improvements in data collection and monitoring of those outside appointments. Quote, ignoring these lessons learned and the challenges that have arisen under the CHOICE program, as VA officials design the future consolidated program, would only increase VA's risk for not... Anyway, let me just tell you this. What's happened is that you have to get approval, and sometimes if, you know, people don't clear out their inbox, you're waiting for weeks. Weeks that turn into months to get an appointment. So it's pretty stupid. But that's the system they designed. And all those checks are there to control the cost. Right? We created the program, but we don't want you to use it that much. So all these different people have to approve your appointment to go see a local doctor. So something that was designed to be to help you to be seen locally and to be seen in a timely manner, the application of it sucks. Okay? The application sucks. Top five stories in the early bird. One, check out the Taliban's new punk rock uniform. Looks to be a bit of a joke. Two, cyber warriors need a training platform and fast. They need a dedicated platform to conduct training. I'm still, you know, I'm the whole cyber thing. What do these guys do? Okay, so what do they do? Given the importance of properly preparing cyber warriors, the Army, acting as Cyber Command's executive agent for all the services cyber teams, has been using a rapid acquisition approach called other transaction authorities, I can't even read this morning, to field training platforms. The Persistent Cyber Training Environment, or the PCTE, is not a single entity, but rather a complex system of systems that will require many moving parts for individual and collective training, as well as a mission rehearsal. Again, so they're trying to figure out some integrated system that allows the cyber warriors to get it on. I don't really understand the whole cyber thing yet. Three, former U.S. intelligence officer arrested in Seattle on China spying charges. 58-year-old Utah resident, held a top-secret clearance for many years, has been charged with trying to spy for China. He was detained in Seattle about to take a flight to China. The Justice Department said on Monday, in a 41-page felony complaint, alleging the man was paid $800,000 for passing on technology information about U.S. military and intelligence issues. Agents from the FBI arrested the man on Saturday while he was on his way to the Seattle-Tacoma airport to catch a flight to China. He spent more than 20 years in the U.S. Army, including time with Defense Intelligence Agency. He left the military in 2006, but worked as a civilian case officer for DIA for several months. He then attended trade conferences on behalf of China and is accused of sharing information with officials linked to Chinese intelligence. He also tried to work as a double agent, according to the felony complaint. If convicted, he faces life in prison. His case is the latest of alleged spying of U.S. intelligence agents for the Chinese government. A former CIA case officer and a former intelligence agent have also been charged with selling intelligence to Beijing. Yeah, these stories seem to be in the news more and more often. So, that number three. Number four, defense officials open investigation into drinking and drug allegations against White House doctor. So, that is in the news. And number five. U.S. moves to justify sail-by operations in the South China Sea. You know, I read this, and my thought was, what? So, wait a minute. So, the United States or any nation has to justify sailing in international waters? What's next? We have to justify why we're in the Pacific Ocean? Because China's claimed that? A senior U.S. Navy officer has pushed back against suggestions that at a regional security summit that freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea have been ineffective, calling them a long-term strategy for demonstrating that China's claims in the body of water are not internationally recognized. This is responding to the insanity that China decides to declare things that are international waters belonging to them and that nobody can sail through them. Speaking in Singapore at the annual Shangri-La Dialogue, which you're going to hear audio from in a few minutes, Rear Admiral Donald Gabrielson, commander of Logistics Group Western Pacific, added that the operations known by the acronym FONOP, Freedom of Navigation Ops, are not meant to be a military provocation or intended to shape policy in the short order. I mean, are you kidding me? They're not meant to be provocative. So why am I being asked, like, if you're sailing through international waters, is this meant to be provocative? That's a stupid question. Gabrielson said, the operations are instead a statement on the lack of agreement to and the lack of recognition of an excessive claim. In this case, China's claim that the South China Sea islands it occupies and has constructed military facilities on are part of its territory. China has also deployed surface air and anti-ship missiles as well as jamming equipment to its reclaimed islands. So then it goes on to talk about the islands. I mean, so is this China's, like, is this attempt to, like, accuse the United States of destabilizing the region by daring to drive ships through international waters? And you'll hear Secretary Mattis talking about this in a second. In fact, Secretary Mattis had noted that the United States does not see the operations as militarization, which is the Chinese accusation, as its ships were going through what has traditionally been international water, citing rulings by the international tribunals based on the United Nations conventions on the law of the sea. Oh, that would be the rule of law, right, that the Chinese don't recognize because it doesn't line up with what they want to do in the region. The UN Convention on the Law of the Sea determined in 2016 that, among other things, China's claims, quote, exceed the geographic and substantive limits of China's maritime entitlements, unquote. Okay, let me read that again. They exceed the geographic and substantive limits of China's maritime entitlements. You want to know what that means? They're reaching, sports fans. China has rejected the ruling, saying, quote, China's ruling is China will neither acknowledge nor accept the ruling. Right. So wait a minute. Okay, so as that is the backdrop, what is the question now? If we're militarizing the issue by conducting freedom of navigation operations, what a joke. What a stupid bit of journalism. Again, in a world where the truth doesn't matter. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll hear a couple of bits of audio today. And again, this is kind of a nice segue into it. But you'll hear that. Let me just check Stars and Stripes real quick, because I like to do that. Yeah, Stars and Stripes tends to be a little bit quicker to the punch. Top of the fold headline. Foreign-born recruit faces deportation despite assurances by Secretary Mattis. Lo Xu, a Chinese citizen who graduated with a degree in data analytics from George Washington University, was recruited into the Army's delayed entry program 2 years ago. He was arrested at a Department of Homeland Security investigation office on Monday after an Army administrative error allowed his service contract to expire. And then it shows a picture. You are not a civilian. You are not a citizen and national of the United States. You are a citizen of China and a national of China. You are admitted to the United States at New York, blah, 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 blah. And then it's a document that says he will be deported. So we see these stories all the time. 74th anniversary of D-Day is this week, and hundreds of members of United States military in Normandy for that occasion. All right, big deal. A lot of it looks like a lot of purple berets, which would signify those are airborne guys. And one of the story. U.S. style, there's a video in Stars and Stripes, U.S. style military uniforms, like those used recently in a Kabul attack, are on sale in bazaars in Afghanistan. At the market known as the Bush Bazaar, shops sell military goods of suspect origin. Everything from what U.S. troops wear on their backs to what they put in their bellies and more. Bernard Traynor, Marine general turned journalist, has passed away at the age of 89. Interesting guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. All Marine Radio continues on a Monday. Coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.